Our sermon text this evening, Galatians chapter 4, beginning with verse 12. I beg you, brothers, become like me, for I also became like you. You did me no harm. You know that, because of a weakness of the flesh, I preached the gospel to you the first time, and you did not despise or disdain the test my flesh gave you. Instead, you welcomed me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus. So where is this blessed attitude of yours now? Yes, I can say for a fact that if it were possible, you would have plucked out your eyes and given them to me. So then, have I become your enemy by telling you the truth? Those people are eager to win you over, but not in a good way. Rather, they want to alienate you, so that you will be eager for them. But it is always a good thing to have someone eager in a good way, not just when I am present with you. My children, I am suffering birth pains for you again, until Christ is formed in you. I wish I were present with you now and could change my tone, because I am perplexed about you. The Word of God. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, listen to some recent trends in decorating the baby's nursery. Think beyond blue or pink. Gray is your friend. Style with gender-neutral hues. Instead of bows and trucks, opt for geometric shapes and designs. Add a touch of nature to the nursery with potted plants or succulents. These will help the baby sleep better anyway. Create a space for a baby gym, like this cute bunny rug. Embrace storage baskets. Make your changing table accessible. Use washable wallpaper. And the list goes on and on. It is fun and exciting to decorate a nursery, but it is plenty of work. New mothers go into nesting modes almost instinctively. And we wonder, what could possibly Mary have done to decorate that very first Christmas nursery? No, 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 I don't want the sheep over here. I want the oxen here, the sheep over there. When the shepherds come, they're going to stand here. Do you think the innkeeper has anything to hang on the wall to cover up those hoof marks? I'm not so sure about that bale of hay. Isn't that ridiculous? If you thought about the very first nursery, Salvation's nursery, of course, Mary wasn't thinking about those things. Mary was concerned, along with Joseph, that they would actually have a shelter over their heads at night, that they would have a place for the baby to be born, and that they could possibly keep that place clean enough for that to happen. Not only that, I'm sure she was thinking about the oncoming pain and the contractions and the labor that she was about to go in. And it seems a little embarrassing to decorate a baby nursery, my firstborn, sometimes when you think about that very first Christmas. What if we could go back? What if we could help out a little bit? What would we do to create the perfect nursery for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, in His birth? What does Salvation's nursery look like to you? If you could hop in a time machine, what would you do? Would you open your own home? Would you go and find a place in the palace? Would you make sure hair didn't get in your way? Nothing would stop you. Maybe you would take him to the temple, his father's house. Maybe something new, an entire new structure with a special room just for baby Jesus. I'd like to think nothing would stop us to place Jesus in the perfect nursery, maybe the trendiest nursery, maybe the nursery people wouldn't stop talking about for 2,000 years. Well, as it turns out, the nursery where Jesus was born and where he lay those first, perhaps, few nights, perhaps a week, perhaps months, until those wise men visited later on, completed their journey to Bethlehem. Well, that has been memorable, hasn't it? For the last 2,000 years, Christians have been celebrating this event and haven't left Jesus lying in the manger. Because the fact of the matter is, brothers and sisters, you can decorate his nursery. Salvation's nursery is intended for you this Advent and this coming Christmas. We can decorate for his birth. And it's exactly what St. Paul was talking about, especially in verse 19. Did you hear what he said? My children, I am suffering birth pains for you again until Christ is formed in you. Galatians can be a pretty harsh letter, perhaps the harshest of any in the New Testament, because Paul was afraid that these people he had ministered to, these people he had brought to faith, were going back to a pre-Christmas religion. It seemed that they were adding works to grace, grace plus something. And if you put anything on top of grace, what happens to God's undeserved love is that it ceases to be grace at all. You can't add to what God has done. And St. Paul was deathly fearful for what would happen to their souls in these Galatian cities. It was like he was experiencing birth pains. Just think of how it would hurt if the pastor who baptized you or confirmed you, or walked you through the faith, or who put you together with your spouse in marriage, if that pastor learned at some point you had lost the faith, or that you were tampering with false doctrine. It might not be something that surprises us pastors. We're not supposed to be surprised by sin or unbelief. It's something we're actually supposed to expect, but certainly pray against, and certainly hope against. And it would hurt. It would hurt if one of us lost the faith, not just for our family and our fellow Christians, but for the pastor who was there. Because he wants Christ to be formed in you and not just left aside in the first nursery. Now, this is an unfamiliar thought. You've probably heard that Christ must be in you. There are several passages we could refer to. Galatians 2:20 says, Christ lives in me. Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Jesus himself says in John 14:23, anyone who loves me, he will hold on to my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. In Ephesians 3, Paul says again, Christ dwells in our hearts through faith. Now, if Christ is to live in us and to reside in us so that he achieves a form that is duplicated within us, he must also be born in us in a spiritual manner. And that's not something we can do by our own decision. It's not something we can do by our own will. There's actually a key ingredient for Christ to be born in us. We can't desire it or choose it if we have not had the faith before. It's something that comes from the Spirit of God. Because the first man in the beginning was a dear child of God, but through sin, he became a child of wrath. And ever since then, we offspring of the first man and women have been children of wrath. If we were going to be helped out in this tragic misery, then the one who was to be born must also be born in our hearts. He can't be left aside. Because without the spiritual birth of Christ in our hearts, the physical birth of Christ in the manger on that very first Christmas, in that very first nursery, would benefit us nothing. It would be meaningless to us. So, seek the power of God. Consider your hearts his nursery. And how will you decorate this temple? Will you let sins of anger and wrath and frustration and the trials of this world fester in the nursery of God? Will you let gossip and slander and things within the home remain and get worse and worse this Christmas rather than allowing the Christ to be born anew in your hearts? Will you open your ears to the Spirit and the words He has to speak to you. A new song, something so remarkable that it's as if we'd never heard it before, even though it comes up every year. Because that's how it is in heaven when a sinner repents. All the angels, just as the first Christmas, they send out shouts and songs of joy. And our Christian friends around us are like shepherds who come with news and wonder and amazement at the fulfillment of the prophecy that a miracle could happen even in this sinner's hearts, even here. And there's one more tip I'd like to tell you about the nursery of today. Just remember, the baby really doesn't care how it looks. In the same way, the Son of God really doesn't care how terrible your sin has been. He really doesn't care how awful your heart has been up to this point. If you've brought in a load of burden and sorrow and guilt, it's just here in the nursery of God where He has so much good news for you that even the angels rejoice. Even the shepherds have good news to tell. Your sin is not too great. He belongs here in the nursery of your heart. It doesn't matter who you are. He belongs in your heart by faith. In His name, amen.